The Father's good to us. He is so good to us. Amen. I think I might be a little hot, even for Brother Rob. I could hear myself twice. All right. How's that? It's better?
Yep.
All right. The Father is so, so good to us. And I mean, His word is true, and He is faithful. And all He wants from us is obedience. And we know that the fear of Elohim leads us into true obedience and love of Him. I can't help but just reminisce about last Shabbat service in regards to the furnace and the womb and how important it was for the midwives to show that they feared Elohim. And just through simple obedience, we could set forth a chain reaction that can affect nations, that can affect people's lives in ways that we couldn't even imagine. That's how good the Father is. Amen. You'll always get choked up thinking about it, because realistically, we know ourselves. We know we have shortcomings. We know we have errors. We make mistakes. But the Father, who is perfect, patient, and endures with us, encourages us to go forth and go forward. And it's so important for us to hold on to that, so that way we can keep pressing towards the kingdom He has established for us. Now tonight, I feel like it might be a little bit of a shorter message. But as the message goes forth, it's about the impact of what the Father has for us in our lives. And this is going to be slightly a branch off of what had started while I had to stay behind and miss everybody. But the Father is good. In other words, I'm saying, Brother Rob's not breaking the seal on chapter 2 tonight, but we're making our way there, and His word is good. His word is so good. But without going into a huge, huge review, we're just going to take the stepping stones and launch pad ourselves to where the Father has me at currently. And I pray that it's a blessing to each and every one of our lives. But it revolved around Shemot chapter 1, Exodus chapter 1, verse 14. Because there was that key element in that part of our portion. It really, really stood out. Kind of like a slingshot. That's how I pictured it. He gave me that imagery right before service. Is how it works in His word, that we could see something familiar, and when we pull back, we go back, even sometimes to Genesis, not that far away. But then, whenever He lets you release, you get to see the rest of it. And it's that awesome, awesome connection that we see throughout His word, because everything is so connected. But that verse 14, just as a refresher, even though it should be integrated in our minds very well, says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and all kinds of work in the field. All their work which they made them do was with harshness." Now, whenever I first went through this, it was dealing with the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. And then now we're in Egypt. And it went over to Babylon the Great, and then reflecting on the current time we're in. Just dealing with the nations and the way that they conduct themselves. Because as we know with the Tower of Babel, it was all about man making a name for himself. Whenever we see those key words, mortar, brick, you know the Father wants to deal with the natural elements that He has made for us and to work with that. And that is so profound, because we can parallel that to current themes and things that we deal with now, with religious structures, with man-made government systems, with all these different things that we could see corruption in, because man wants to take his hands and put it on something that the Father has already made perfect. And that can reflect in our personal lives so well, that the Father has blessings lined up for each and every one of us, but we have to make sure that we're willing to keep and adhere to the unhewed stones. Keep and adhere to the rawness of His word and walking in that. But we dealt with the nations. We dealt with the bigger picture, and now we're zooming in a little bit, because every time the Father establishes something, He puts a leader in charge, a leader to go forth as a shepherd to help His people go in the direction that He wants them to go into. And ultimately, we're about to also break the seal on Moshe. And I don't play favorites, But if I have one that magnifies on a certain level whenever it deals with us reviewing the covenant that's been established for us to keep, I get excited with Moshe. Because I'm not saying I'm like Moshe, but I can relate to Moshe on certain levels. Because there's a lot of times where I'm like, Father, you sure? I could barely talk right at times. I might be able to pronounce every once in a while, but it sounds like good brother making up words sometimes. Sounds like an old lawnmower trying to start whenever I start stuttering. But that's me reviewing imperfections, just like Moshe did. And of course, we're going to be getting to that and all that goodness in it. But this is like a precursor or like a preview into that category. Because now we're dealing with leadership and why the Father picks certain individuals and certain character traits that he wants to see those individuals operate in. Because he sets the standard for each and every one of us, and we got to be willing to walk in that standard, trust the process, and know that the Father is setting up our lives for success. But I have here in my notes, Yah unifies through obedient leaders. Yehovah chooses leaders according to his own purpose rather than human preference. Throughout Scripture, Yah's selection emphasizes obedience, humility, and his covenant purposes. And as we were reminded last Shabbat, we are a covenant people. Even though we are currently in a system, now let's just be honest, the system that we're currently in is probably nowhere as bad as what we're looking at right now. Because they were straight up working for work, and that was their payment, was more work. It was hard bondage. But we can see as we go into the example that the Father led me to in a familiar area dealing with Shemuel and Shaul, that we are in a similar system because people get too caught up in worrying about the physical appearance or what a person's height, stature, looks, and all those different things could bring to the table. But meanwhile, even though that's people, is still dealing with the same concept with bricks versus stones. So I know in the gym culture, people could say, oh, that dude over there is built like a brick house. Well, that's good. Hey, you know what? Achieve it. Hopefully it's natural. Hopefully it went through all the good processes. But if it's not, if it's artificial, if it's been hands put on, you can look like a brick house all day long. But what's going on the inside? Because that's what the Father deals with. He looks at the innermost parts of our heart, which is also going to be spoken about tonight, in regards to how we're going forth. Because it's beautiful. I was telling my wife on the way here, every time before I go to speak, my mind just starts racing, just here, there, everywhere, where to start, where all this and that, and that's part of the human nature. And I could have been like, yeah, I'm too much of a mess right now. I can't. I'm sorry. He doesn't want our excuses. He wants our effort. Right. Because we have to trust him that he's going to bring forth the rest of the results. All reflective of how important it is to realize that he wants to bring us back to the natural state. Even if we're surrounded in a governing system that wants to try and crush us. But let's look at key examples. We're not going to go through each example, but they're listed here. Because we have to get our minds focused on that leadership example. Because we're about to be entering into a very detailed description of Moshe's life. Marked as the most humble, the meekest man to walk the earth. And that's of importance in our walk. Because we could get really caught up, especially in the leadership position. And each and every one of us has a leadership role in our lives, but depending on that certain leadership role comes with a certain level of responsibility, and how we handle that, it could really make or break the results of the people that he has entrusted us in our lives to walk with, to lead them to the kingdom, the promised land. But Moshe, these are just quick notes. Moshe, Yehovah calls Moshe from the burning bush, despite Moshe's reluctance. Leadership is based on Yah's calling, not personal confidence. And that spoke volumes to me, dealing with the understanding of how Moshe went forth. Because we could easily get caught up in our excuses, but we got to be able to trust the Father that He is operating in a way that's much, much greater than us. Joshua. This is a good example of Moshe does not choose his own successor. Jehovah does. And that's something that we also have to really encapsulate. Because at the end of the day, it's the Father that goes forth and sets everybody into their position so that way they can go and do what it is that He called them to do. And a lot of times, people want to get too focused on the person and what the person's doing, establishing the leader and so forth. But if that person's operating in the Father, know that it's the Father doing all things and establishing things. Gideon. Gideon considers himself the least in his family. Yet Jehovah chooses him to deliver Israel, demonstrating that Jehovah works through humble people. I could stop and commentate on each and every one, but I want to make sure that we get through each and every one. Because the main focus tonight is going to be Shamuel and Shaul, something that we're very familiar with. Samuel is called as a child to replace Eli's corrupt household, showing that Yah raises leaders according to faithfulness. Saul is chosen as Israel's first king because the people demanded a king. His reign illustrates that being chosen also requires continued obedience. Note how that has a slight negative connotation in that example compared to the previous ones, because it's something that we should glean and feed off of and remind ourselves that we should never get in a position of trying to take things into our own hand, to be brick builders of a kingdom that's established by unhewn stones. Because we live in a world where we could be easily influenced. We could easily allow Egypt to get onto us. And you know, unfortunately, in Israel's current state, the covenant to people, because we know whenever we get to those portions, we know when we get to that part, whenever they're in the wilderness, what they were starting to do. They were starting to think about Egypt. They were starting to think about the past and how much easier it was. But then when we consider the longevity of everything, how important it is to just remember that even though we may be going through the process, we may be going through the fire, that the Father's trying to develop us. He's trying to get us through the adversity. So that way, whenever we get a level up, like a promotion or anything of that sort, that we're able to walk in that position the way that the Father sees us walking in that position. And I can't help but mention, yes, I'm about to bring up the Foreman thing once more, but the reality behind it is I'm being humbled. As I was sharing with Brother Eddie, one of the things that, and my wife knows this very well, one of the things that I struggle with the most, and I have no problem telling people what I struggle with, because let's be real, we all have something that we could work on. We would spend more time focusing on ourselves and what we need to develop. We'd be much, much better instead of trying to put bricks around other people, which we're all guilty of at some way, shape, or form. But the reality is, I've always struggled with the administration of authority because I come from a rough background where authority was presented in a Pharaoh-type style. Harsh, very violent, very aggressive. And then things can be embedded within you. You can have those outbursts. You could have those moments. And as I'm walking in this position at work, in a brick-built environment, I'm starting to feel the pressure and notice that certain things that are in me that want to surface, but I have to restrain that and walk as the Father called me to walk, so that way I can remain humble and right before Him. Because the world can be very influencing upon our lives and cause us to act Egyptian. Now, I don't know if we have any Egyptian listeners out there, but I'm talking about the prime example of what we're looking at. I don't want no one from Egypt sending me any mad messages through the mail. There's no telling. There really is no telling how many people are actually being ill. Because like through one person, another person, another person, we could have people all over the world listening in to these recordings. People that we don't know. That may make themselves sound. But that's the beauty of the Father, because however he establishes ways, it's amazing how he sets forth all of it. But with that example being said, I could feel the pressure. And I know as matters are established in our lives in the physical, it should be focused on the spiritual. Because he wants to see us succeed. He wants us to be able to walk as the leaders that he sees us as. So he'll allow things to happen in our lives. Promotions, next levels, more responsibility, so that way we can grow into the spiritual beings that he needs us to be for whenever time comes, the way we have to go forth and actually start really taking that real-time application and applying it directly to his word in the areas that he's heading us towards. And Goshen has a big part of that. I'm trying and slow down a little bit. Because I can feel my sweat on my back. The menorah must be lit. Saul. I said Saul. David. The youngest son is chosen because Jehovah sees the heart rather than the outward appearance. Solomon. David explains that Jehovah specifically chose Solomon to build the temple, showing that divine assignments accompany divine selection. And we know Solomon's outcome. We know his ordeal. That he started off good, in the sense of how Saul started off good in some essence, some form, some shape, but over time allowed the wanting to know, the wanting to seek out desire of the flesh to overcome him. And we're going to see how that reflects perfectly, because we're dealing with names. So you might be thinking, Brother Rob, you kind of like here, there, and everywhere. But it's all connected. Because we're dealing with names, and whenever it deals with the wanting to know of certain things of what we desire, that's directly tied to Saul's name whenever we look at it. But Jeremiah is appointed as a prophet before birth, emphasizing Yah's sovereign purpose. Cyrus, though not an Israelite, Cyrus is chosen by Jehovah to accomplish his plan of restoring Jerusalem, demonstrating Yah's authority over all nations. Amen. And I wanted to, that was one of the spots I wanted to dive a little bit further into, but that's all right. I'll have that opportunity when I have that opportunity. Excuse me. The 12 emissaries. Yeshua spends a night in prayer before selecting the 12, showing that leadership begins with Yah's direction. Matthew. The apostles pray, "You, O Master, who knows the heart of all, show which one of these two you have chosen." Even replacing Judas depends on Yah's choice. Paul is selected despite formerly persecuting believers, demonstrating Yah's grace and purpose. Major principle seen throughout Scripture. Yah chooses based on the heart. And I wanted to lay out those leaders, all those leaders, and what the most important thing they have in common is that Yah chose them. That Yah chose each and every one of us. Because you really think about it, whenever we were out in Egypt, completely just doing things the way that we wanted to do. How that song goes with her, they do the whole Egyptian dance. I'm not gonna do it. It always happens. But I'm gonna leave the radio off tonight. yep, there it is. But you know, and that's the reality. That's the beaten step that we used to step our feet to. And the Father wants us out of that system completely. He wants us to keep going forward. He wants us to not look back and trust the process that he has, but we have to continue to rely heavily on the most powerful master that we have, the most powerful leader that we have is Yeshua Messiah. So we're going to get to him. Another important note is outward qualifications are secondary to inward character. And a key summary verse that pertains to all of what was just said, which I'm only going to read a part of that verse as we move down, but in 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For man looks at the eyes, but Jehovah looks at the heart." And that's something that we got to keep in mind every day. And that's something that I'm being prayerful of, especially in the testing that I'm currently going to through myself, the character development. Because each and every one of us have people that we are impacting every single day. And our attitude is everything. Taken together, these passages present a consistent pattern. Jehovah appoints leaders according to his wisdom and redemptive plan, calls them to faithful obedience, equips them for their task, and holds them accountable for how they lead. So let's make our way. We have a little bit to break down before we really go into it in the context of it, but let's make our way to 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm not going to lie, I got a little excited because I had one of those moments where I was like, you know what? I can finally say I'm seasoned just enough that I've been doing this just long enough to start being able to say, oh, I remember my message that I did on this. I was so happy. I was like, check that out. Cool. Get a little seasoning on me. But let's get into this. We're going to deal with names first, because that's one of the major themes that we have to be looking at throughout our studies. Samuel. I have a little quick summation of what it means, but we're going to look at the breakdown. But when you render his name, it can mean to listen to Jehovah with the intention of walking in obedience to his Almighty Yah's sovereignty. Let's look at this. Let's break it down. It's Samuel. Shemuel is H-80-50. On the surface level, it's speaking of heard of God. But when you break it down, you got 80-85. Shema, which should be something that's integrated in us, because we do it every single Shabbat morning. We read the Shema in reflection of listening, of grabbing these bad boys right here, opening wide, and receive what the Father has for us. Because listening is so important to making sure that we're able to continue to go forth and do, because we cannot be hearers only. We must be doers of the word. But Shema is to hear intelligently. That hit me kind of hard, because sometimes we got selective hearing. So if we're not hearing intelligently, we must be hearing and you can put whatever your favorite word is, opposite of intelligently. But often with implication of attention, obedience. And there's plenty of meat on that word, but let's focus on that attention and obedience. Because the Father has his ways of getting our attention, but are we willing to walk in that obedience as his covenanted people? Let's look at the ancient Hebrew. That is the Shin, Mem, and Ayin. It was dealing with section V. The action is hearing here. The concrete is a report. The abstract is obedience. A careful hearing of someone or something, as well as responding appropriately in obedience or action. You can't help but think how this all came about with Shemuel. Hearing Shemuel. Section V. To hear as well as to respond to what is heard. And what is our response? What is our response day in and day out when we hear his word? When we hear from him through prayer? Through all the things that we do that should reflect his character, we have to hear him. Now, the other word connected is El. It's Shema El, Shamael. H-4010. This means strength, mighty, especially the Almighty. And we can see how important it is to have Almighty Yah involved with our hearing. And this one should be familiar, the ancient Hebrew breakdown, because it's dealing with the yoke, the ox, the strength, because it's the aleph and the lamed. When you combine these two, it means strong authority. It can be anyone or anything of strong authority. The yoke is understood as a staff on the shoulders in order to harness the power for pulling loads, such as wagon or plow. Hence, the two pictographs are also represented and represent the ox and the yoke. Often two oxes are yoked together. An older, more experienced ox would be teamed up with a younger, less experienced ox. The older ox and the yoke is the strong authority who, through the yoke, teaches the younger. I thought for a second I'm becoming an older ox because I was really struggling just now to see the words there. I was struggling. But it's a beautiful physical representation of what the Father's showing us, because we're connecting the strength and type of strength, the yoke, and the coming together with the Father, coming together with Him through our hearing, Shema El. So it encapsulates this beautiful picture of how important it is for us to be able to receive His strength to get us through life, to help us march into the kingdom. We have to be willing to hear Him, to listen to Him in every moment of our lives. But it's section A and N, and it's the masculine. It's the masculine, because the hay is not apparent whenever it comes to Shamiel's name. And that's the difference between the two, the masculine and the feminine. But it says, the power of the ox's muscles to perform the work. One who holds authority over others, such as judges, chiefs, and gods, that's lowercase g, gods, in the sense of being yoked to one another. So it further profoundly explains the importance of those two being together and with hearing. Now we're going to deal with Shaul's name, even though it's only mentioned into the next chapter, chapter 9, it's not quite laid out there, but it's important because we're doing the comparative. Because this is all a branching off of dealing with the nations of this world versus the nation the Father is establishing in the heavenlies and their leaders. But Shaul, the little rendering that I got out of it, is to ask or inquire, is to seek out a desire to know more, which could be a good thing, to desire to know more. But what is it that we're desiring to know more of? Because without hearing, without His strength, we tend to rely upon ourselves and our strength, and we know how that goes. It doesn't really work out that well. But Shaul, age 75-86, simply means to asked in the past tense. And it comes from age 75-92 to inquire. An implication, request, by extension, to demand. And that part, whenever I spoke about demand, really stood out, because when we look at his life, that's where his leadership role ended up going into. He started demanding things. He started taking things, which was all told prior. Because I remember in the Ood message, the warning, which I thought was like, because it's in, within chapter 8, of what we're looking at. And when I saw it again, it just brought back so many memories. But a lot of the times we got to realize, and it's beautiful to go back, because then you're looking at hearing and how important hearing is, and then you're comparing it to the opposite of that whenever we take things into our own hands. If we don't get the ood right, then our lives are going to be in a mess. And I mean, ultimately, the Father is continuously dealing with us step by step so we don't end up too far gone off of the map. But as you look at the ancient Hebrew, it further breaks it down. It's request to draw out something that is not known, to seek to understand what is not known. And that's section D and V. But you can see how, in the beginning of that, the shortened summary, which I know sometimes people may feel like, brother, we were fine with just the shortened summary. Well, we got to look at the meat. We got to look at the breakdown. We got teachers in here, and I'm sure whenever it comes to a category or a subject that has to be taught, you got to start in the genesis of the curriculum to be able to work your way to the formulas and how they work. And I was mentioning algebra, which is not a strong suit in my life. But remember, to ask or inquire is to seek out a desire to know more. So I put a little thought note here. Shaul sought out worldly advice and understanding instead of fearing Elohim. He took his life and leadership into his own hands, leading to his demise. But now let's deal with the context of it. And see how it's reflective of dealing with the nations, dealing with these same spiritual principles that we're going to be looking at, dealing with how important leadership is in that role and just walking in it and making sure that we do what it is that the Father commanded us to do. Sometimes I think I have three lungs because I don't know how I get all that out at once. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to be, when Shemuel was old, that he made his sons rulers over Israel. And the name of his firstborn was Yoel, and the name of his second, Abiah, rulers in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways, and turned aside after own gain, and took bribes, and twisted right ruling. And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Shemuel at Ramah, and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. I mean, what a group to have around you, just to come out and say something to you like that. Well, now appoint for us a sovereign to rule us like all the nations. But the word was evil in the eyes of Shemuel when they said, give us a sovereign to rule us. So Shemuel prayed to Jehovah. And Jehovah said to Shemuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them. And I couldn't help but reflect on the key principles behind this study. Whenever it comes to the world that we're living in, when it comes to the nation that we're currently placed in, that these are all reflective. And us ourselves, we're challenged with that day in and day out with the governing systems. We could choose to be completely dependent and reliant upon them, or we can trust in the process that the Father has for us, because that's part of that spiritual journey that they physically had to go through. That Moshe was appointed over them. When you look at Moshe's life being the meekest, the humblest, and dealing with the children of Israel, I noticed that his biggest struggle was anger. Because he let the people get to him. But he was always able and ready to humble himself before the Father so that way he could take them through the process. And we got to be thankful for that imagery, for the real life examples of that we have currently in our lives, so that we can adhere and take in and consider all those things as a people to make sure that we're not bringing him to wrath, to make sure that we're able to walk before him in the ways that he expects us to walk. And not relying on the brick-built nations that we're constantly looking at day in and day out. Verse 6, but the word was evil in the eyes of Shemuel when they said, give us a sovereign to rule us. So Shemuel prayed to Jehovah, and Jehovah said to Shemuel, listen to the voice of the people, all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Mitzrayim, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other mighty ones. So they are doing to you. Which I can't help but realize that's very reflective of the fact that we're looking at the process being built up step by step, stone by stone, going into the longevity of what they went through. And then over time, that spirit of familiarity sets in. that spirit of comfort. Because when we're going through the fire and we endure the fire the way that the Father wants us to, we come out reproved. We come out stronger, ready. But I also notice one of the hardest challenges is whenever you're in the womb, you're comfortable, you got your feet kicked back up, you're feeling good, you're on that mountain, you're on that, what was it, the click, click, click. But are you staying diligent to hearing and relying on His strength? Because I've experienced it. When we had breakthrough, when we had a lot of our problems solved, oh, we were click, click, clicking so much that we were click, clicking nonstop. It sounded like tapping shoes. But then I felt that in my spirit, that it became to be comfortable. It became like, oh, this is good. This is enough. This is nice. Oh, it's like I made it to the kingdom already. But then what? Then when the woo comes, when that down side comes, and I can't help it but say in the message again, that's fun to do. I'm glad you gave us that. But it's a real, genuine, practical application that we could use in our day in and day out. Because I'll be hearing it in my head throughout the day. But it's important that we're always on guard, always listening, always receiving the strength of Elohim, and making sure our desires are right before Him. So that way we can adhere to His warnings correctly. Because that is in verse 9 and next verse. And it says, "And now listen to their voice, but you shall certainly mourn." And that's when we learned about the doubling of the Hebrew words. And then I was able to do that message about warning and adhering and listening to His warnings. Because if we don't, we end up in a big woo situation. But that's the ood. And I couldn't help but literally think about the fact of whenever you're dealing with a little child and you're telling them not to do something, they reach in that cookie drawer, you gotta start doing it. Good. Warning. Adhere to the warning and walk humbly before the Father. Leave them cookies alone. But certainly warn them and shall make known to them the ruling of the sovereign who does reign over them. I always have a little fun with this next part because it reminds me of the fact the world we're living in. Usually whenever you bring up the tax word, that gets people's attention. Because, I mean, do we really want to continue living? Like, imagine if that was eternity, paying nonstop taxes out the wazoo, feel like you're working almost just for the system, when instead the Father has a better plan. But we got to be careful what we ask for. Keeping up with the Joneses could get us in trouble, or coveting. But it says, "And Shemuel spoke all the words of Jehovah to the people who asked him for a sovereign, and said, 'This is the ruling of the sovereign who does reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen. And they shall run before his chariots and appoint commanders over his thousands and commanders over his fifties, or to plow his ground and reap his harvest, or to make his weapons and equipment for his chariots. And your daughters he's going to take to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. And the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive trees he is going to take and give them to his servants. And a tenth of your grain and your vintage, he is going to take and give it to his officers and his servants, and your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys. He is going to take and use for his own work. But there's more. And a tenth of your sheep he is going to take, and you are going to be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day, because your sovereign, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but Jehovah is not going to answer you in that day." Which is an incredible reflection and a reminder on our part not to fall into wanting more of the system, to be more like whatever system's better. We just got to trust His system, trust His ways. And that process, it's not easy whenever we've grown up in this system, but the Father's positioning us into a position, lining us up with land, with opportunity, with these incredible things that we should think about and pray about every single day, day in and day out. Because Goshen land is a huge thing. It's our opportunity to really, really take in the process of living out the unhewn stone lifestyle. Because, look, I'm by no means prophesying when I say this next part, but we may not always have the Walmarts, the Targets, the Costcos, the Sams. Is there anything else I may be missing? Does anyone have a favorite grocery place? Rouse's, that's a good one. Freeman's. I live just next door, literally. But but it's a reality we got to face. We got to develop the skills and willingly allow the process of the unhuman lifestyle be a part of our lives. And we got to make sure when we get to that point that we don't start going, we need a Saul. We need to govern this bad boy just like the United States of America. We need to govern this like China. I don't want to pick any government. I don't know why I went to China, but we know we don't want none of that. Well, let's move in this. Verse 19, however the people refused to what? Listen to the voice of Shemuel. And it's kind of, there's irony behind that because of Shemuel's name. And said, no, but let a sovereign be over us, then we shall be, we also, like all the nations. And our sovereign shall rule us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Shemuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of Jehovah. And Jehovah said to Shemuel, listen to their voice, and make them a sovereign. And Shemuel said to the men of Israel, each of you go to his city. So now, I would be completely remiss if I didn't mention Yeshua when we're talking about leaders. Before we get into that, which is going to be in John chapter 6, one of the examples of leadership, whenever he has many, many. But I thought this was a good reflection of what we just spoke about when people go to appoint a leader in the physical, in that part, in that servitude, in Yeshua's case, trying to do something ahead of time. Yeshua, in humility, rejects it because he knows the Father's timing is much, much more important. But I want to read over these real quick. Spiritual kingdom. Yeshua declared, my kingdom is not of this world. In John chapter 18, 36. His purpose is to save humanity from sin and reconcile them to Jehovah, rather than to overthrow earthly governments or lead military revolts. Because we already know when that time comes, when we hear like this, it's done. It's not going to be some drawn out mega war. It's going to be established immediately. Rejection of worldly power. He refused to let people shape his identity based on their temporary worldly desires. And divine timing. Yeshua knew that his ultimate kingship would be established through his sacrificial death, resurrection, and ascension, not by a popular, forced uprising orchestrated by the people, which we see in John chapter 6. And that says in verse 1, after this, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. That is Lake Kinnereth. And a large crowd was following him because he saw his signs which he did on those who were sick. And Yeshua went up on a mountain, and there he sat down with his taught ones. And the Pesach was near, the festival of the Yehudim, which we so much enjoy and thankful that we get to be part of that, seeing ourselves as the covenanted people. But I thought it was so timely, even though we're not in that fullness of what is to come, we know that they are going to be led through and out of Egypt with the Pesach. Then when Yeshua, lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd coming toward him, said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for them to eat? Yeshua has to make you chuckle. Because watch. And this, he said, trying him, for he himself knew what he would do. And we got to relate to that. Because we're tried by the Most High, day in and day out. He already knows what we're going to do. But he's going to allow us to go through the process and be able to realize it for ourselves so we can develop ourselves. If we're hearing. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them to receive a little. One of his top ones, Andre, the brother of Shimon Kepha, said to him, here is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many? And Yeshua said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and the men, numbering about 5,000, sat down, and Yeshua took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed them to the taught ones, and the taught ones to those sitting down, and the same with the fish, as much as they wished. And when they were filled, he said to his taught ones, gather the broken pieces that are left over, so that none gets wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then the men, having seen the sign that Yeshua did, said, this is truly the prophet who is coming to the world. Then Yeshua, knowing that they were about to come and seize him, that they might make him sovereign, withdrew again to the mountain alone by himself. And we could see that as a huge form of humility, of respect to the Father's timing, to the Father's plan, and how important it is in our lives to know that we have to make sure as we're going forth that we're not just trying to receive something from people just because they want to give it to us. That we have to make sure that it's the correct way and timing that the Father has on our lives. Because, and this was nowhere in notes or thought until now, but the realization is the enemy can trick us with false blessings. And I don't know if anyone needs to receive that, but I'm going to receive it for myself because the Father just directly dropped that there. And we have to make sure that we, and it takes a deep, deep relationship with the Father. Because a lot of times, just like Saul's name, we have desires, we have wants, we have needs. But how are we going to go forth with those? And are we going to honor the Father in it? Because most of the time, I always refer to him as a really bad used car salesman. He's got a lemon tree in that parking lot, and he wants to sell everybody lemons. Looks good. Looks like it runs. Looks like it shifts fine. But as soon as you leave the parking lot, you sign the paperwork, and you're stuck with something that you don't want. So we always got to make sure that whatever the Father has for us, we are diligently seeking it in his timing. Because we know that Yeshua is a sovereign of sovereigns and master of masters. He is the one at the right time, at the right place, was put at the right hand of the Father, the Most High, so that way he can lead us out of what we're currently in, the spiritual mystery in Babylon, so that way we can get into the kingdom that he has established. And I know that's usually a shorter message than what we normally run around here. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful I took the opportunity to come forth before everyone that I love. And I'm thankful for the opportunity of growth. And I'm praying that we all get to receive those true, undefiled blessings that the Father has for each and every one of us. We just got to remember to listen. Amen. And have his strength. But with that being said, Shabbat shalom. Love y'all.